Yes. Hey. I got past the hard part. Oh, my. Hey, Ted was saying something there during the prophecies. He's right. Those words weren't just for the unsaved. If you're a believer and you have backslidden, even if it's been 30 years, I really like the scripture. I can't remember where it's at, but it says, God's grace and mercy is new every morning. Every day you get a chance. That's incredible, isn't it? Every day you get a chance to do it again. Every day. I got to somehow keep myself under control this morning. I just really have a really neat word to give you, and it was given to me by the Lord, and I'm just excited to talk to you about this. What happened, I like to tell you how, a lot of times I like to tell you how things happen instead of just starting to preach, but I was reading, and I'd gotten to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and I was starting to read right at the fifth chapter of Galatians. Let me turn to it. You don't have to turn there. I got other scriptures I'm going to share with you. And there I am. And I started to read this, and here's what I was reading. The title of the message is Liberty in Christ. It should be something more dramatic, but that's what I'm talking about. So as you see, it'll unravel. But as I started to read the first verse in chapter 5 in Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I know he was writing to the church of Galatia because these people, though they had known the blood of Christ, they knew Jesus Christ had died for them, they were forgiven for their sins, nothing they had to do, they were kind of coming back under bondage of the law, thinking they needed circumcised. And he's addressing that. I know that. And I knew that when I was starting to read this, but I'm reading it again. And as soon as I got to the first verse in chapter 5, and he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Oh, my. It's like this 4x4 just come flying through the air and just pounded me in the chest. And he said, this is what he said to me as I'm reading this, the Spirit of God. He goes, you don't know how much liberty you have. Oh, took my breath. You know, I just kind of was numb for a minute and thought, should I ask? What don't I know? Oh, as I just put my head down and started just coming into the presence of God, oh, he overwhelmed me. He just overwhelmed me and started showing me the liberty that I had in Christ. And I hope I can do this some kind of justice in sharing this with you. One thing I want to say right off the bat, you're not, and these words, oh, this is why I don't tell people what I preach on, because I don't want anybody catching a word, thinking about it, and thinking the Lord's giving them prophecy. This is what I'm preaching on. They said the whole thing. Every prophecy had to do with what I'm preaching on. Oh, it just thrilled my heart when I start hearing those words come forth. You know, isn't it something how Jesus can put stuff together? You couldn't make this up. You couldn't make anything up this good. I'm going to turn for just one verse. I'm going to turn to John 8, 31 through 36. Now, I want to tell you, right off the bat, you are not bound to your old nature. You're not. Now, I've been saved going on 40 years. Close to 40 years. And it hasn't been that long in my life, not that long, that I remember back things I couldn't change. Things I couldn't overcome. It's not been that long. And I actually, in my heart of hearts, thought, this is the way it is. This is the way I'm going to be. And I was saved. I was using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was used to lay my hands and see people get healed. I was using prophecies. But it's still, at the end of the day, I'd go home and think, I got a problem. I got a problem in my heart. And I got a problem with some of my attitudes. And I had no real hope that they'd ever change. That's the way it is. Because I knew I can't overcome this. I almost didn't want to let go of it. So, if you're here today, and you have things you can't overcome, things you can't quit doing, things you don't do you wish you did, attitudes of the heart you think that'll never change, it's a lie out of a pit of hell. It's a stinking lie. I can't say it any more worse than that. It's a bad lie. I'm going to read John 8, 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, boy, listen to that, you got to abide in his word. The Holy Ghost got to have something to work with. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Look at 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, Jesus says, you are free indeed. Oh, I love that. I want to read this to you out of the Amplified. So if the Son liberates you, makes you a free man, then you are really unquestionably free. So you say, which you won't say out loud, then why am I where I am today? I used to read this stuff and wonder where I am today or where I was yesterday. Luke 4:18. I just want to read a proclamation that Jesus made about this. When he was in the synagogue and he walked in and he picked up the scrolls to read them. And he picked up the book of Isaiah. And this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's all of us. Liberty to the captives. We are all captive to sin. Every one of us were slaves to sin. And to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable the year of the Lord. Then it says, then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your sight. He was going to do exactly what he said, and I tell you, he did it. He did it. But sometimes in our life, it looks like, what's up? what's up? You say you did this. What is going on? I hope you follow me. If you'll just follow me, I'm sure you're going to get some revelation out of this. This is handwritten, and I only got 2 pages left. We are 1/3 of the way through this thing. You've all heard the story. Now, you know, I hear this story. I don't even know if this is a true story. I think it's true, but I'm giving this disclaimer so nobody comes up to me later. You know about the baby elephants. I was always told, and I'd seen on television, and of course, you know, the History Channel is always right, how they put a big chain around a baby's elephant, and they put a 4-foot steel stake in the ground. This baby elephant cannot get away. And he just knows he cannot get away. He gets older and he gets older and he gets older. They put a small chain around him, put a 1-foot stick in the ground, and all he does is yank on it. He can't get away. I think a lot of Christians are in that spot. Yeah. This chain has been broke. It can be broke so easily, so easily. But we've been tricked by the accuser. And I think a lack of the Word of God in our lives, a lack of understanding the Word of God, and a lack of knowing the power of God has caused that. I'd like to show you something. Have you ever been trying to explain something to somebody, how to do something, or where something is, and they say, I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, let me tell you like this. So you explain it a different way. I still don't get it. Let me tell you like this. Oh, I got it. Now, that's happened to all of us over some kind of circumstance at one time or another. I know Linda will call me up sometimes when I'm working on the property, and she'll say, hey, I need a tool. Where's that at in the garage? You know, I know exactly where that tool's at. Go down the right aisle. Stay close to the car. Turn left, 2 foot. Look up to your shoulder. I don't see nothing. Like, oh, it's there. I know it's there. So I got to tell her a different way. The other day, she just called me the other day. She goes, she needed some blue painting painter's tape. Well, we have all kinds of painting equipment in the garage because we own rental property. Well, I knew right where that blue tape was. I said, go out there, a stack of boxes. She goes, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that paint box. She looked right in, she goes, and in there. Next box. There it was. She goes, oh, I found it. Sometimes it's the way you hear something that clicks. You know, we're all a little different. It's the way you hear something. If you're making fun of me, keep it to yourself. Oh, boy. I need a drink. Now, you don't have to turn to these. I'm going to read through them kind of quick. I'm trying to make a point. And then the last one I'll have you turn to, if you would. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Well, we understand that that means whoever keeps hanging on to the Lord and doesn't quit will be saved from damnation, from judgment. We understand that. In John 3:3-6, where Jesus is telling Nicodemus, hey, you got to be born again to enter the kingdom. And Nicodemus is thinking to himself, huh, I'm to go back up inside my mother's womb. You know, he knows this is, he's not seeing the picture. And then Jesus brings on, and, you know, he says, no, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. So there's a little more definition brought. You know, I'm bringing definition to salvation is what I'm doing. These scriptures bring definition to salvation. Well, would you turn to Titus? For you newbies, it's right before Hebrews. Titus, right after Timothy. Titus 3. After I had read this in Galatians, where the Lord really impacted me about the liberty we have, it was maybe a day later, I'm reading in Titus, and I'm going to read this to you. Titus 3, 4 and 5. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness, you know, we didn't have to do anything to get saved, to be forgiven. We don't have to do any works of righteousness, which we have done. Oh, pardon me. But when the kindness of the Lord, of God our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, because we can't do anything to be saved, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's God's extension. He just decides to forgive you if you believe on him. And then he goes on to bring more definition to our salvation. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you. You might be smarter than me. But I told the Lord, I said, what's that word mean? Regeneration. I know what it means to get saved. I kind of thought I knew what it meant to be born again. Now I'm finding out I'm regenerated. Well, honestly, I couldn't tell you what that meant. I didn't know. So I look it up. Let me tell you what that means. This brings a whole different definition to being born again. I love this. I love this kind of stuff. See, I like to know how things work in spiritual gifts. When I started hearing from the Lord, I want to know how that worked. Hearing his voice, laying my hand on somebody, see him get healed. I just get intrigued. How's this work? What do you want me to do? Yeah, he'll tell you that stuff. Now, I want to read this to you. This is so good. In the Strong's, when you look up the word washing of regeneration, spiritual rebirth. Well, I kind of had that idea. spiritual renovation. Ooh. I know what renovation is. See, I own rental property. Yeah, rental property. I know what renovation. You go in and tear the last house that Linda and I bought, we had to go tear the whole kitchen out. Tear out the bath. Tear out the living room ceiling, dining room and ceiling, and all the walls. And all every window in the house. Right out. Ooh. Being born again, being saved, spiritual renovation. Ooh. I'm really liking reading this. Listen to the last one. Oh, this is so cool. Messianic restoration. Messianic restoration. Jesus comes in and he renovates you. He starts tearing out the old walls. He tears out the old windows. He tears out the old heart. He tears out all the old thinking. Jesus Christ himself. It's a messianic renovation. I don't know how else to say it. Oh, I just sucked on that lollipop for a week after I read that verse. He actually goes in and changes you. That's how being born again is. It's so wonderful. Now at work, you know, the guys will ask me, say, hey, what happened to you? I said, I had a messianic renovation. They'll say, what? I said, I had a messianic renovation. He goes, what? So I got saved, man. I got saved. I mean, I don't know about you, but doesn't it do something to your thinking to think that Jesus came in? And you know, if somebody asks you, you kind of know all this stuff. But you never hear it said like this. You never hear somebody talk about it like this. When you ask Jesus Christ in your life, he comes in for real by the Spirit of God, and he starts tearing stuff out. Ugh, what an ugly heart. Ugh, oh, I hate that part. Ugh, clean this out. We got to, you know, it took us several months to do our house. He does this thing pretty fast. He does it pretty fast. And then look at verse 6. Oh, the rest of it. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I got to read to you what this means. This is so cool. I just love this. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does too. And this is what it means. And by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit and the moral renewal. Get that? Moral renewal. How many of us here needed that? Moral renewal. Yeah, he comes in and you're under construction, man. It's a messianic renovation. And he goes, I'm giving you a moral renewal. I'm getting rid of that stinking thinking you got. You got to think right now. That's what he does. Oh, I mean, I just think this is tremendous. And then the next verse, it says, which he shed on us abundantly. Oh, he didn't spare nothing. Now, to think thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people get saved. Do you know, you're one individual, Willie Henry. He didn't spare nothing when he saved you. He did for you what he did for everybody before you. He did for you what he did for the disciples, what he did for the apostles. He did for you what he did for John the Baptist. He did for you what he did for everybody. He came in and did a renovation. I mean, that's incredible. That's where if you're saved, that's where you're at today. You may not think it, you may not feel it, but that's where you're at. It says, which he shed on us abundantly, this renewing of the Holy Spirit. It says, he poured a rich measure of the Spirit on us. It says, for he sent down the Spirit of God upon us plentifully. Oh my. Hey, that's what you got, baby. You ought to feel pretty good about yourself. But what happens? You know, you read this stuff and you're not walking there. And a lot of Christians, what really tears them up is their conscience. Why can't I be different? Well, remember, I'm trying to just think of different scriptures now. Romans 5:5. I'm pretty sure it's about it. It says where he poured out his love on us. When we got saved, he gushed. The word actually means he gushed. I heard one guy preaching and used the word Niagara Falls. He Niagara'd his love on us. That's when he renewed you by the Holy Spirit. He Niagara'd. Now, Jason was just giving testimony the other day about when that happened to him, when he started realizing about the love of God. You ever want to hear a good testimony, go ask him. He'll tell you about that. But that's what he does when you get saved. He gushes his love on us. I didn't ask my wife if I could do this, but I'll tell you a story about her. Laugh if it's okay. Well, she laughed. She got saved about 30-some years ago. We were living in East Liverpool. And I had a friend, a very good friend. I still have a good friend. And she really didn't like him. He was obnoxious. He was saved, but he was obnoxious. And she let me know she didn't like him. Well, there was a member in my family, too, who was pretty obnoxious. She didn't like him either. I understood why. I didn't think nothing of her for it. You know, she's not saved. Well, she got saved, and it was only, what, 3-4 days? It wasn't very long. She had this dream, wasn't it, about Jesus telling you to come closer? And she couldn't get close enough. I mean, it was bright and shiny, and she just couldn't get any closer in her dream. And she woke up sitting up in the middle of the bed in the middle of the night. And I said, I look at her. She goes, "Is it okay? I love so-and-so." This man that she despised, didn't like. "I love him. I really love him. Hey, and you know that person in your family? I love him. Is it okay? I love him." What happened to her? A messianic renovation. Oh, yeah. He gushed out that love into her heart. Yeah. You remember that? That's pretty cool, wasn't it? That's one of the neatest things that ever happened in her life. Hey, and what about, you know, we read this Galatians 5 about the gifts, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. We read that, and guess whose fruit it is? It's the Spirit's fruit. Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's fruit, Galatians 5. It says, I think it's 5:23. Maybe it's 4:23. Where am I at? 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hey, next line's pretty neat. Against such is no law. You can have as much of it as you want. And whose fruit is it? It's the Spirit's fruit. Who lives in you now? The Spirit lives in you. The only restriction on having this fruit is saying, "I've had enough." Let's not go there. That's enough, Bill Powell. Holy Spirit, that's enough. I can't love them. Gentleness. We've had enough of this gentleness right now. I think I'll take over. Now you're going to listen to me. We have access to this. It's been poured into us. The only restriction is you. You. I'm telling you, this might be an eye-opener. Maybe it ain't. But it's you. You restricting it. Oh, I'm telling you. I've just read this in a different light than I've ever read it in. Here's one that will blow your mind. 2 Peter 1:4. And he talks about knowing the Lord. If you just stay close to Jesus, if you just know the Lord, it goes on to say that we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. We can escape it. We can take on the divine nature. You can be like Jesus. Doesn't that sound almost ungodly? That's what it says. So what's going on? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you. Here's what's going on. This is what I see. Three little steps to start remedying this whole thing in your life. I see Jesus really expected a lot more than what we expect. And we think it's hard. See, one thing in my life, now I know everybody's different, but in my life, if I can just be told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, I can do it. That's my nature. I think it was 2 weeks before Jennifer got married, I wanted to change our bathroom around, move the tub, move the toilet, and do a lot of work in the basement. This has been on my mind. But, you know, it's too hard. Well, I have a very good friend, Rick Cunin, who's a Christian, who got Linda and I into rental property. He's been a big influence in my life. That man knows how to do about anything I know. I mean, he is just, he's really gifted. So I'm telling him about this, and he goes, "Ah, that's a piece of cake. This is all you do." That's how Rick talks. "It's a piece of cake. You just go in here, cut the bathtub out, and you move a wall." I had to move a wall 1 inch. So all I had to do is move a wall. To me, move a wall 1 inch? You got to cut the drywall. You got to move all the pipes. You got to fix the floor. Move a wall 1 inch? He goes, "Listen, Bill, this is easy. You just move the wall 1 inch." He told me how to do it. You move the pipes. You set the commode. You got everything you want. He brainwashed me into thinking, man, this is easy. I was told what to do. I went home, tore up the bathroom. Linda goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm redoing the bathroom." She goes, "Jenny's getting married in 2 weeks." I said, "Huh, I'll have this done in a couple days." I did. I did just what he said. See, my fear of something very hard to do had been overcome by somebody telling me how easy it was and how to do it. So if somebody can tell you how it works and how to do it, maybe you can. It'll be up to you now. Three little things, and there's a lot more you can say. I mean, you know, I can't even hardly touch us today. I mean, you probably know that. I can't hardly touch it. But we can get it started. In Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, one of my favorite verses, Kirk's always teasing me about this one of my favorite. It is one of my favorite. See, after you have this messianic renovation, you get saved. Jesus comes in, dumps in his love. He has the Holy Spirit and they're just waiting to ooze out all this fruit. You know, he's just waiting to ooze this fruit out of you. Well, you get saved today right here. When I got saved, I sat down with 13 other men at lunch every day. You don't know any ungodlier men than what I sat down with. Tell you. They were ungodly. The things they did, the immorality, was horrible. It was talked about and laughed about every day. Well, as soon as I got saved, I stepped back into work the next day. I thought, man, I can't go sit down with them guys. But they would think I didn't like them. And I do like them. They just need saved. So out of my confusion and frustration, I went and sat with them for lunch. Oh, golly. I never heard anything that bad. It never affected me like that before. The name of the Lord taken in vain. Immorality. And I mean, I couldn't eat my lunch. Well, the next break came, I didn't go sit with them. I couldn't. Because the Spirit of God was dealing with me. Have you ever heard the phrase, I think it's in Galatians also. We're in Ephesians, stay there. Galatians, right after the fruit of the Spirit, he says, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Anybody ever tell you how to walk in the Spirit? I can't even see the Spirit. How can I walk with him? I want to tell you how. Real simplistic. When you get saved, you get this Holy Spirit in and dealing with you. Well, I want to go over and sit with these guys because I don't want to make them think and shame them in for their ignorance. And the Spirit of God's telling me, no. No. This is so distasteful. No, you got to break this off. No. I said, okay. Now I'm walking with the Spirit. He said, go from over here and go over there and eat lunch. Okay. I'm walking with the Spirit. It's a piece of cake. Just do what he tells you. You say, oh, I never hear it. Oh, you don't have to hear it. Sometimes the Spirit of God just brings conviction upon the heart. He does that with you if you're saved. I know that does. If that's never happened to you, you're not saved. Spirit of God deals with a saved person. You're looking at those funny books. The people don't have no clothes on. They forgot to get dressed the day before. And like the Lord says, don't look at that anymore. Well, the way you walk with the Spirit is, okay, that's walking with the Spirit. Do what he says. The word, you know, the Spirit of God will drive you into the word. And if you don't read, you know you should be. Isn't it weird? if you're not reading much, you know you should be. you know that? Spirit of God's dealt with you. You ought to be reading, baby. A little bit, read something. Well, the more you read, the more he has to work with. That's walking with the Spirit. Just do what he says. If you keep the word, that's walking with the Spirit. If you do what the Spirit of God does when he convicts you, that's walking with the Spirit. Oh, Bill Powell. Oh, don't do that on your taxes. It's only taxes. Psst. Come on. It's only federal tax. And they cheat me. They're so immoral and ungodly anyhow. The Lord says, oh, come on. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, I won't. That's walking with the Spirit. Woo, she looks good. Turn your head away, you dipstick. Oh, okay. That's walking with the Spirit. There's nobody in here that can't walk with the Spirit. You might not want to. You might not want to use the love God gave you. Man, Jesus loves prostitutes. How do you do that? He's God. He made love. He is love. He knows that prostitute needs loved. He knows. He says, hey, don't go do that anymore. I don't condemn you either. See, we have, and this might be revelation. Do you know you have the ability to do everything Jesus did? Because the Holy Spirit's in you, and he gives you these gifts. This fruit is just in there, just mulching around, waiting to come out. It's almost like having a bellyache when you don't do it. I think it's the Holy Spirit just churning that stuff around, going, I'm telling you what you ought to be doing. How come you're not doing it? Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I feel so bad today. I hate that person. I'm not going to change. I'm going to give them what for. Just walk with the Spirit. I skipped my whole last page. Good grief. We might be done. I know I'm putting on a plate of simplicity, but I want to tell you, it's just simple. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, maybe you've been backslid for years, so you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Do you know what happens if you get saved and you're not around godly people? If you're not around, in Ephesians, I started to read that 10 minutes ago. Ephesians, it says that, here's what it says. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The word filled means to be influenced. To be influenced. So it's up to you now to get out of the camp of the unbelievers and get into the camp of the believers. Quit being, I got to work with ungodly guys, so I work with them. I don't sit down and eat lunch with them. I work with them. I'm kind to them. I share the gospel with them. I help them when they get trouble. I listen to them. I do everything I can to be a friend, except I won't cross the line ever about sin. When I get time to myself, I sit by myself. Now, if somebody comes to me, even down at the mill, I feel like they're on my turf. They came and sat with me. See, I don't go sit with the unbelievers and bother them. I go sit by myself. But if an unbeliever comes over now, he's on my turf. Now I can say what I want, because he can walk away. The Word of God says, you got to be filled with the Spirit. How do you get influenced by the Holy Spirit? Well, one way is to worship. Oh, man, I never thought of that. That's pretty cool. Worship. Turn off the TV and worship. Well, how do you worship? I'll tell you, sometimes we're watching, ask Linda, we'll be watching a movie. It's always a good movie. It's always a good one. And the Spirit of God starts doing my heart. He'll say, won't you come and pray? I think it's a real sense of humor. Maybe. It's either that or a test. I don't know. But, you can only put up with that so many minutes. Finally, I took Lena. I said, Lenny, will you shut the TV off? She knows what's going on. I got a very godly wife. Sets the TV off, and she sits there, and she goes. That's what she does. Those are some of the best worship times I've had. You say, what do you say? You can't think of anything to say. Start thanking him from the day you got saved. Start thanking him for the things he did in your life. Think about anything that ever happened good to you. Think about it. Praise him. Sing songs. And it says in here to sing hymns and songs to one another. Do you know there's nothing like good Christian fellowship? I mean, it just does something. It rattles you somehow. I get with Mike, Lance, and Jason. Jason started this men's thing, Bible study. We've only been together twice. Some of the best times I've had in fellowship. I'm telling you, them guys are cool. And it just does something for you. But you have to get influenced by the Holy Spirit. You have to. Prayer, worship, good fellowship. Coming to church. You've got to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Read the Word. I don't like to read. I don't even know where to start. Start in Matthew, the beginning of the New Testament. Start in Acts. Start in Jude. Start somewhere. And you say, I can't get nothing out of it. Do you know there was a time in my life, I'm embarrassed to even confess this, a time in my life when I thought I was doing so good, and I knew a lot. I understood doctrine and I was teaching, and I started reading, but I thought, where am I going to read? I've read it all. I actually thought that. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, that's so stupid. I read some of the most familiar verses now. He'll go, look at this, Bill Powell. Whoop. Oh, it's something how he does that. You got to be in the Word. You got to worship. You got to pray. Stay in step with the Spirit. That's what it means. The Spirit walks like this, walk like that. He walks like this, walk like that. He walks away from that, you walk away from that. He walks to that, you walk to that. He says okay, you say okay. He says no, you say no. That's walking with the Spirit. Now, how much easier could this get by somebody taking you by the hand and saying, I'm going to help you serve God? You got it. You got it. You have him. I mean, it's incredible. Just incredible. I'm almost done. What usually brings us on, not letting this happen, it's a lack of reading, lack of praying, lack of worship, lack of praise, lack of fellowship. You're just plain tarred over with feathers, baby, by the world. You're a saved man in a bad place. But anybody can come out of it. You know, Jesus wants you to come out of it. Anybody can come out of it. I want to read one final. Rayo shared this with me a long time ago. Then he brought it back to my memory this morning when we were talking in the prayer room. And what happened, I actually experienced this. A lot of times you don't know when you experience things. Lord will be dealing with you and things will be going on in your heart and you'll change and you'll grow. And you don't see it. It's way down, you know, where you can notice an inch instead of an eighth of an inch, you know, you notice an inch. Well, I remember there was a thing in my life one time. I really thought it'd never change, couldn't change. It was an attitude I had about some things. And that was the way it's going to be. It's going to stay this way. Never going to change. I mean, I'm saved. I'm serving God. I love the Lord. He gives me spiritual gifts. He must think a little bit of me. He's forgiven me, and I know I'm still saved. But this ain't going to change. I couldn't change until the bond was broken. I realized, oh, my gosh. I'm not keeping step with the Spirit. I'll tell you, when you tell yourself, when you sit down and you're honest and you find out why you're in sin because you're not listening to the Holy Ghost and you say, I'm not in step with the Holy Spirit because I don't want to be. Well, I'm telling you, it changes things. Makes you see it in a different light. Ooh, I want to keep step with the Spirit. But I wasn't. And the Lord showed me, the more I kept step with the Spirit in different things that he was showing me and opening my eyes to, he would help me more. Oh, it was incredible. In fact, one of the situations I had in my life went on for a long time, and it's really getting dealt with, but it was just this morning the Lord spoke to me. Actually told me something to do. He'd have never told me a year ago because I couldn't do it. He knew I would never listen to that. I don't think I'd have heard it if he had said anything. But I'm making progress in my attitude over this area. And because I'm complying and I'm listening and I'm keeping step, Well, he's doing more now. And he told me something this morning that I could never believe him telling me. And I thought for a minute. I thought, well, that's what I want to do. I should do that. It was phenomenal. Listen to this verse. This is the last one I'll read to you. Mark 4. You got to mark this in your Bible. Mark 4, 24. Then he said to them, Jesus is saying this, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. So if the Spirit of God tells you something, you say, you blow him off. Do you know there's only one scripture in the Bible that says don't quench the Holy Spirit? Only one verse. One verse in the whole Bible says don't quench the Holy Spirit. But he lays out the strategy in the whole New Testament how not to do it. But only says it in one verse. I think it's in Thessalonians. For 2 Thessalonians says don't quench the Holy Spirit. A little one-liner. Where every time the Spirit of God calls you to do something and you go, you blow him off, it's quenching the Holy Spirit. Well, do you think he's going to go to step number two when you won't do step number one? Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. More will be given. More instruction. More grace. More ability. So, if you're in an area, start praying, Jesus, help me. The Holy Spirit says, do it like this. Listen to him. He's going to give more instruction. He's going to bring more grace. But what happens to the guy that don't listen? For whoever has, verse 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, because they don't want it when it's been spoken to them or instructed to them, even what he has will be taken away from him. This Christianity really has some real mechanisms in it, doesn't it? Just get saved and stay saved. I used to go to church like that. Get saved and stay saved. The only thing is, you can't stay saved if you just stay. The mechanism is so intricate with the Holy Spirit. But it's not over anybody's head. A child can do it. Children do it every day. My son Tim, he's a grown man now with family, but when he was a child, I'd say, Timmy, go over there. Okay, Dad. Same thing. The Lord says to you. You know, he might come up to Jim and tell him, I want you to give something to somebody. Oh, Lord, that's so precious to me. Jim, what'd I say? Okay. Oh, he has just opened up. He has opened up a world of what the Lord's going to say to him next. I mean, it's phenomenal. Nobody wants to stay where they're at. And a lot of times it's just because maybe you've not heard it right. You've not heard it in a different way. So, would you all stand? Father, I want to pray for myself and pray for the whole church that, Lord, I want to continually hear your Spirit speak to me. I want to continually hear you sense your conviction, your leading. I want to continually listen to you so I can hear more, Lord, so I can have more from you. I ask you, please, in the name of Jesus, open people's eyes that they can understand these scriptures, Lord. And give them such a heart to walk with you. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you've never been saved, never been born again, never had a messianic renovation, and you want to be forgiven for your sins and you want to change, come on down. We'll just tell you what to pray. You're just going to tell the Lord to do it. We can't do it for you. If you've been backslid and you want this changed in your life, come on down, we'll pray with you. Maybe you look like you're serving God and you really look pretty neat and nobody knows. Well, that takes a lot of humility. But if you can get up enough humility, come on down, we'll pray with you. So you're dismissed. Hey, God bless you.